First, I'd like to pray. God, thank you for this opportunity to share my testimony. I pray, God, that it'd be encouraging to somebody here and that it would point to you. Give me help here to just make my thoughts clear and say things that would be helpful and edifying. Thank you so much for your love for us, and I pray that everybody would be reminded of that. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I thought about my testimony and thought about only 8 to 12 minutes to share, I was really nervous. I don't know how to fit it all into that. God has done so much in my life, my whole life. Honestly, to tell you my story is to tell you of him and a grace and mercy that's so greater than all my sin. And I grew up in a Christian home. I knew the Lord. I can't remember a time where if someone would have asked me, where would you go if something happened to you today or if you died, I can't remember a time that I wouldn't have told you, I'm going to heaven. I knew without a doubt that Jesus Christ had died on the cross for my sin to pay the penalty and the debt of my sin that I could not pay in myself, and that it was his righteousness that made me right before God. And so I knew that from a young age, but as I grew up, I think I struggled to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I wanted to believe in him, and I wanted to go to heaven, but I really wanted to see what the world had to offer. And I was pursuing my own desires and my own passions and my own lust. And yet I was convicted. I didn't have peace at night. I knew that I should be serving God and giving him my gifts and my talents, and that he had a greater purpose for my life than to just build my kingdom and build my pride and the image of myself, but I didn't want to do that. And the pulls of pride were so strong. I mean, I grew up in the Western lifestyle, and my dad rodeoed for a long time for a living, and so we grew up riding and rodeoing, and all I wanted to be was a professional bronc rider and a cowboy that was super handy, like a top hand in every aspect. I wanted to rope sharp. I wanted to ride and train the best horses that I'd ever seen. And I wanted to have all the nicest gear. I wanted people to like me, and I wanted people to think that I was the best. And it was just pride, like no different than Satan had before he was cast down. I wanted people to look at me and think I was the best. And man, God began to convict me of that when I was in high school. And let's see here. I felt convicted of my sin, but I just didn't know how to turn from it. No matter how bad I wanted to serve God and quit serving myself, I didn't know how to do it. And I kept returning all the more to my pride, to my lust, to my kingdom, to the things I wanted to build. And I related a lot with what Paul said in Romans 7 when he said, you know, the things I desire to do, I don't. I have the desire to do good, but not the ability to do it. And I was in need of grace and in need of help, but I didn't want to admit that. I wanted to do everything on my own. And if I knew I needed to change, I didn't want to change, like if my parents were disciplining me or if there was a mentor that was pushing me in a direction, I didn't want to let them see me change, lest they think that I was obeying them or giving in to them. So, anyhow, my parents did a really good job trying to raise us in the Word of God and instilling scriptures in us from the time we were homeschooled. They taught us scriptures as part of our curriculum, and all along, those verses would convict my heart of my sin and my pride. And as I got into high school, I felt the conviction to keep my heart pure for God and to seek Him first and to wait for God to bring me the right person to marry. And I really wanted to have a pure relationship. All these things. But, oh, man, the lust of the flesh were there. And in high school, I met a girl who wasn't a Christian, and I started dating her. And even though I thought, well, this is okay. Maybe I can date her long enough to tell her about Jesus, and she'll come around. She's being yoked together with a non-believer pulled me away from God. And I quickly began to compromise things in my heart that I knew I didn't want to do, and I began to cross boundaries with her that I felt so ashamed of. And after doing that, the longer I kept going on in that relationship, the more convicted I would feel and the more shamed and separated from God, to the point that I just had to get out. So when I graduated high school, we broke up, and that's when I really ran to Jesus for the first time in my life, just out of desperateness for Him. Like, I was so longing for His love and forgiveness, and I was hoping it would be there. And sure enough, it was. He just began to love me and to help me see in His Word His forgiveness of my sins, that He'd separated them as far as the east is from the west. Like, that's how far God had removed my sin from me. And I begin to read in Psalms of His steadfast love, His enduring love, on and on. Even though I kept sinning, He never quit loving me. And then I begin to realize that how loved I was. And my name means beloved of the Lord, but to be honest with you, I heard my parents say that, but I can never believe it when they would say it, because I didn't feel loved. And I could go through all the motions and see all the right scriptures of how God loved me, but I didn't really know if He loved me. But as He would show me how He's been faithful to me in my life all these years in spite of my sin, I realized that He loved me with a love greater than I could comprehend. And John 15 says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you would bear fruit and that your fruit would remain." And in Psalms 139 it says, you know, "You're fearfully and wonderfully made." He's talking about how even in his mother's womb, how God saw his substance yet unformed, and He had a plan and a purpose for his life even before he was made. And when I read that, that brought me to my knees, that God knew about me before I was born. And He had a plan and a purpose for me, and that He knew I would sin. Yet even before I had sinned, He'd already made a plan to come out of His way, to send His Son on the cross, like to stand into my place, the perfect one, the chosen one, the spotless one, like the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He chose to humble Himself and to come down and to take my place, to take the wrath of God for my sin, and gave me complete forgiveness. Not only did He forgive me, He gave me His righteousness. you know, said, son, here's my right standing with God. Why don't you have that? And that's where my whole life began to turn around right after high school. And I was trying hard to get scholarships to go to college and rodeo. And I had like 3 big schools that were looking at me and sending me paperwork. Paperwork kept getting lost in the mail. But it all began to make sense when I heard about this internship at a church that you could go and serve for a year and just see God and take some Bible classes and stuff. So I went and did that. And while I was realizing God's forgiveness for me and his love for me, I just wanted to seek him first. You know, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And he was beginning to put that in my heart, which was the opposite my whole life of wanting to live for myself and wanting to seek my kingdom and build my kingdom and preserve, like, all the things I wanted to have. He was changing my heart and helping me want to seek him. And anyhow, when I came to college out here, that was kind of the first time that God helped me get over my fear of speaking in front of people and helped me to lead some Bible studies. And that was just amazing, growing in those ways. But I was trying to lead Bible studies, and I was trying to go to church and trying to grow, but just reaching roadblocks, and I didn't know how to get past them. Well, I got around some amazing people that began to mentor me, and one of them was John Dockweiler. I got the chance to go work for him a few times, and there's just something about him. He doesn't talk that much, but there was something about him that he was living the things I was reading in my Bible. And he lived out the fruits of the Spirit of Christ, didn't just talk about them. And I knew there was something there, but I asked him if he would meet with me and disciple me some. And so he started reading through the book of Philippians with me for a couple months. And that's where I began to realize, wow, I need a Paul to mentor me like Timothy, and I need to abide in God's word if I'm going to bear any fruit. And that's where God began to help me realize I need his word, and that his word is like the means to which he's going to grow me and strengthen me and teach me, and that his everything that pertains to life and godliness is in here, in this Bible. So I was asked to be part of the preaching group, which I was totally humbled by. And I thought, man, God, I have this big fear of speaking in front of people, and how could I ever do that? But really, it was an answer to prayer, because I wanted to grow and to learn to read God's word and to rightly divide the word of truth, but I didn't know how. And all the guys in the preaching group just have mentored me a lot and helped me see all the more that, like, what I was looking for my whole life is in God's word, but I was looking for it in other places. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And when we read his word, it produces faith in our heart. And I was a part of a church for a long time that didn't value the word of God at all, didn't look to scripture or to God's word for instruction, looked towards like emotional experiences and revelations to man and all sorts of looking for dreams or looking for other things to speak to us rather than God's word. But none of those things can produce change in your heart. Nothing can reveal sin in your life and cause conviction to come, which changes you And nothing can produce life in us like the Holy Spirit of God coming and making us born into life, born again, and filling us with hope and filling us with faith. And so that's what God has done in my journey. And I'm so humbled because I couldn't have done that in myself. Like, I couldn't have changed and I couldn't have turned from my pride or my sin. But God, like, come in my weakness and he helped me to see the light and helped me to change and he helped me to choose him. I couldn't even have chosen him or prayed the prayer to ask him to change me within myself. Like, it's all a grace and a mercy of God. But yeah, I don't know what else to say or where to leave you, but I guess I'll pray. So, God, thank you so much for the love that you've shown through your Son dying on the cross for our sin, and that while we were sinners and ungodly and opposed to you, that at that time you sent Jesus to become our sin and to take our place. And thank you for the gift of Christ's righteousness to make us right with you. God, I pray that we would just come boldly to the throne room of grace today to receive your help in our time of need. God, I pray you would tear down any walls in our heart of pride where we don't want to receive that grace and we don't want to admit that we need it. We do. And only you can help us. Only you can save us. Nothing else has worked or will work. We need you. Pray you would be with us as we go forth and partake of the Lord's Supper, that our eyes would be fixed on the amazing grace and mercy and gift of Jesus on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.